In this episode of the Beamable Game Dev Podcast, I sit down with Brandon, a senior DevOps engineer for Beamable. Let's jump into the interview. Brandon, what's going on? Welcome to the show. So glad you're here.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's jump in by talking about one of your favorite classic games.
Sure. I have two of them that immediately pop to mind. One is no surprise to a lot of people. It's Ocarina of Time on N64. Open world Zelda game, super fun. Hate the water temple, everyone does. No one likes running around with the princess and everything. So other than that, for a totally different reason, I go with Bomberman, Super Bomberman on the Super Nintendo. That just brings back a lot of nostalgic feels of playing with my cousins, plugging in the multi-tap, getting that multiplayer experience, blowing each other up. It was just a fun time.
You know, I never had the chance to use the multi-tap as a kid. That was, I'd always, you know, it was always like, whoa, four players, right? You know, that was kind of a big deal back then. That was like, that only happened in the arcades, you know?
So. Yeah. And I think the only reason, like, I get that nostalgic feel too is because it's the only person I knew who actually owned that multi-tap and had four controllers.
That's super cool. And of course, I mean, Ocarina of Time, great game. Like just incredible. I still have my original cart, the gold cart for that one. So.
Oh, you have the gold one. Look at you. That's awesome.
Well, okay. I'll give you a quick little background on how I got it. And I kind of got in trouble. So my girlfriend at the time, now wife, purchased that game for me for Christmas, but I was very I needed to make sure she got the gold cart. Like she went to the specific place that had him. I think she got it at the, oh my gosh, it was electronics. I can't remember.
Boutique?
I think so. Like in the mall, I think. Yeah. And so, anyway, I found the receipt to make sure that it was the gold cart. And so when she handed it to me on Christmas, I was like, hey, this is awesome. I totally knew you were getting it. She was like, what? So I was like, yeah, I found the receipt. You didn't hide it very well. Yeah, so
ruined the surprise, but whatever. I'm sure you still enjoyed it very much.
It was, oh my gosh. That playing through that game was, that was like, at the time, it was just unreal. So, so much fun. So what games are you, what are you currently playing?
So I'm still huge into World of Warcraft, specifically Classic. I started playing that game in its beta when I was in college. So that's back in 2004. And I've been playing pretty much ever since with a couple of breaks here and there. And then when Classic relaunched, I was all about jumping into that. Other than that, I play Counter-Strike. Play that whenever I can to get my first person shooter fix. It's a game that I've been playing since like CS 1.3 and now obviously through Go. Today I start playing New World, Amazon's new game. So we'll see how that is. I haven't tried it at all yet. I've never played any of the beta or open beta stuff that they offered. So I'm excited to hop in with a completely fresh perspective on it.
It looks crazy. I put out a video this morning on all of Beamable's socials, just giving a kind of a quick preview of it. And all I see is people on Twitter talking about it and people very excited. I saw people are like, yo, I'm up at 6 AM getting ready to stream. there's quite a bit of hype around this game. And, it hasn't really been on my radar much, but it looks, I mean, some of the stuff looks really, really cool. Some of the gameplay looks pretty like, action, you know, with action focused and pretty impressive, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely has that action component from the little bit I've seen. Again, I haven't even played, but there's dodging, there's all that, those action components that you can do in real time, which should be fun. I'm really excited for the concept of not having to level multiple alts if you want to play the game different ways. It's all the weapons based, the weapon skill based. So if you like just pick up a new weapon and start leveling and using that, you can get all the skills associated with it. So that should be, it should be really fun. I'm excited for it. And I'll start streaming it this evening. Yeah.
Oh, give the quick plug. What's
all right. It's Twitch.tv /Brandofsky, BrandofSky. Yeah, I haven't streamed in about a year, but I'm gonna hop on and start doing it again tonight for New World.
Very cool. I'd love to hear that. So, well, let's transition a little bit and talk about your role at Beamable.
Sure. Yeah, I am a senior DevOps engineer here at Beamable. What does that mean? That means my primary focus is on our AWS hosted infrastructure and reliability, stability, deployment, everything around just making sure that our servers are running properly and stay running properly. That being said, Beamable is a company that allows you to explore, you know, different aspects of what you might be interested in your career. So I've been afforded the opportunity to actually hop into Unity too and do some development in there, which is something that I had never previously done. So that's been super fun as well.
What about Beamable just excites you the most?
So previous to Beamable, for those who don't know, we were a game company called Disruptor Beam, and we had made a few very successful games. Star Trek Timelines, Game of Thrones, et cetera. So based on those games, we had built like this really solid backend platform that was handling like millions of users easily. When we kind of switched and transitioned over to Beamable, we now are able to offer that same solid like backend and all that technology that we had already built to a ton of other game makers now and allow them to take advantage of that. So like, building servers and building backends is difficult, and it oftentimes isn't a lot of fun for makers. People want to focus on the fun of their game. People want to focus on, you know, art, the gameplay, all the fun aspects. You know, your purchasing and your leaderboards. Generally, all that type of stuff isn't super fun. So we've already built that, and it's super rock solid. So like, being able to offer that to other makers is awesome, and it feels good to like get more people. Being able to make games that offer more features than they probably would not have been able to create with the team size and expertise that they might have with the few people that they have.
It's one of the coolest things. When I started learning about Beamable, you know, just basically it's like having a much larger team on your side just by installing into Unity and, you know, having the leaderboards, having the multiplayer, all those kind of things. Like it gets me super excited, honestly, because it's the potential for a dev to go from a hobby to a career. That's what Beamable can offer, really. And so I love it.
Yeah, for sure. And the word that's thrown around a lot is democratization of the industry and allowing people to step in and do exactly what you just said, make bigger games, make it a career. And like, even though we throw the word around a lot internally, it's great. We really do live that. It is something we do. We are building our platform in such a way that it does democratize a lot of the industry.
So tell me about yourself and how you got into the games industry.
Yeah. So as a wee lad, when I was in high school, I was actually for much of my high school career going to a vocational school for machining, actually. And my career path, so what I had in my head was I was going to go from the machining aspect and then kind of in college transition to mechanical engineering and kind of have that background in the machining first so I understand that process and move in. While I was in high school, I realized that a lot of the programs they were teaching us, the 3D programs for the machining industry and the programming that they were teaching us for the machines, a lot of that stuff just translated to games, and I like games more. Like, games were way more fun. I've always been a gamer. I was like, so like before, I was kind of just picking mechanical engineering as a career path because it sounded safe and good. But then once I realized that these skills that I was learning kind of translate into another whole career that was really starting to explode at that time, I realized like I'm gonna go for this. So I kind of switched over to comp sci, and then from there, kind of transitioned, ended up going to Full Sail specifically for game design. And from there, just got into the industry. I was very lucky that I was able to get in fairly recently after graduating, and I started. I just started my career as a technical artist.
That's amazing to hear. Like I love it. It sounds like you had a pretty solid plan, and then, I mean, I don't know. I love seeing that you were able to, really get into what you were passionate about versus just right. going the safe route. Right. It's so much more fulfilling.
That's totally it. And I love seeing the programs that are available now at so many different schools and whatnot. It used to be like a very, very specific schools that you would go to, Vancouver Film School, Full Sail, all those type of things. Now, like all these other colleges are offering a ton of really good programs to help people get into all different aspects of the video game industry, which is part of like how the industry is evolving and changing. So it's awesome to see.
And what trends are you the most excited about in the industry right now?
I think it all goes to how the industry is, both how the industry is changing and a trend of it is because of tools that are being offered, such as Beamable, like, and the democratization of the industry and more people coming out of schools with specialized training, more people are passionate about the industry and see the value that's there in it and see that they can get into something that they're passionate about. You're seeing way more games come out and way more teams get formed and making really interesting, fun games that I think previously you only expected your major studios to be putting out some AAA type titles or titles that have a lot of exposure. And those are the really, that's completely changed. Things like Steam and the Greenlight program have allowed other makers to just really get in there and make amazing games that I don't think 10 years ago we would have been able to experience as consumers just because of how hard it was to break in.
You mentioned some of the games that Disruptor Beam worked on. Like let's dig into that a little bit. Like what was it like working on Star Trek and Game of Thrones and some of those big name IPs?
So it was awesome and challenging. So you had a really passionate fan base, which was awesome because regardless of, you know, trying to look at just the business aspect of how much money you're making, dollars and cents matter, but community matters as well. So those are like specifically two very passionate communities. So it was really interesting. So they cared a lot about the game and what was being offered. And if you offered some like really, really like obscure type of thing, it was noticed right away. Whereas like, you know, the general masses might not have noticed it. Someone who's just playing through the game as a whatever, and it's kind of just something on the side and they don't really focus on it. So it was awesome to have those type of people. That also introduces its own set of challenges because you got to be on point. Like whenever you're introducing anything that might be part of a storyline, but you got to make sure you do it right because they're going to notice. So yeah, it was very fun to work on something that was so well received by the community.
What's it like taking feedback and, you know, having to work like to make sure that like, I mean, you're essentially, I mean, like you were saying, some of these communities are very, very passionate about the IP, right? And making sure stuff is, you know, the way it should be, and they'll pick it up. Like,
yep.
What was the process of staying on point? Like,
well, when you're working with the publishers and the IP owners, there is an approval process of the art or whatever new quest lines or anything that you're putting in. The writing and the art is all approved through, again, whoever the licensor is. So in that aspect, some of it could get caught there. So first of all, we had very passionate people on the team that knew these IPs already. So it was a very rare occasion that someone would miss something when they were creating a new storyline or a new piece of art. But if it was missed, it would first go through the licensor for approval. And once they might not catch stuff more than we would catch it, really. But either way, it was one set of checks and balances that it could go over to them first and they could check it out and see if there were any issues. And if there were no issues, then we could release. And then if we did release and there was an issue, It was like that day that the community let us know. And because of our development processes and the way our game servers and platform work, it was super easy. Not super easy. I should never say it like that. It's always a scramble and a little bit of a fire drill. But within hours, we could actually turn something around and have a fix out the door if it was egregious, if something was like super wrong.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That, I mean, it sounds nerve-wracking, honestly. Like, but at the same time, it also sounds very exciting. I mean, like you were saying, a lot of people on the team were very passionate about those IPs already. So it's like, I mean, having that opportunity in some ways had to be kind of a dream come true.
Yeah, it definitely was. That was my first foray into mobile gaming as well, and being able to hop right into the mobile gaming space. I had already worked on like very large IPs before in the past, but this is the first in the mobile space. And it was like, it was just as big as is working on like a AAA PC game with a large IP, as far as, you know, people coming in and what the fan base, what the fan base's reaction to new releases was. It was very exciting to see. It actually was unexpected. Not to downplay mobile space at all. Mobile space is huge, but it was just super unexpected coming from that AAA space, PC space, to being like, whoa, this is that big. This is that big of an industry. It's awesome.
That's amazing. So, I mean, you've been in this a long time. Like, how have you seen the industry change over the years?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is going back to what we were speaking about the accessibility and the people in the industry and the team size changes and the types of games that are coming out. I love what I'm seeing here, being able to have these smaller teams, tools available to people that they can make these hugely amazing games with, you know, 5-10 people. Having platforms like you said, Steam, to be able to release these things on and get these games out to people that normally wouldn't be able to see these games. They'd be like passed around as a shareware thing that way back in the day, and like you'd have to find it from a friend. But now it's just accessible and right there, and you can get these amazing experiences that aren't necessarily coming from huge AAA studios.
As a game developer, what's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned?
It's definitely be open to learning anything new that's presented in front of you. So in my career, I started out as a technical artist, which specifically more deals with helping with tooling and processes for the art development team. I then moved into DevOps, which is more heavily dealing with directly with the engineering teams. I wouldn't be able to make those transitions and kind of like learn new things if you weren't just open to any new problems and technologies that come your way. If you can find the right people around you that allow you to learn like that and take every opportunity you can to learn all these new things, jump into Unity if you've never been into Unity and just start learning things, jump into a new area. Like I had never touched AWS before. Like AWS is not something I had gone initially to school for and for server technology or anything, just something that it was interesting to me and it filled a need that we needed at the time. So I hopped into it and learned. Like that's the biggest thing, is just be open to everything and absorb it all and take every opportunity you can to learn new things.
I mean, it fits your brand of not necessarily taking the safe route, but taking the more challenging route. But again, I mean, it seems like it's paid off and been very rewarding.
Yeah, it's been an exciting time. It's brought me for about going on 15-year career in this industry, doing a few different things and just learning a lot on the way and gaining a ton of experience. It's been a wild and exciting ride.
I love it. Well, hey, thank you. Thank you for taking the time today to chat and give us a little peek behind the curtain of what's going on at Beamable. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Beamable Game Dev Podcast. If you'd like to chat with other game devs, head on over to Beamable.com/Discord. And if you'd like to try Beamable for free, head on over to Beamable.com.